Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one.
I am sure.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
My fly is open.
Close, and then you come in, she starts wagging her tail and starts licking your hair.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing, Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are like a bat. For the stream, go direct to DLNTS.org. And I see challenges of Linux, they call it Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the challenge is about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1136 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
And I don't know if Joe's going to be here or not, whether he's going to be late or he has the bag this week, but we shall see. We shall see. Joel, you know what? We were talking last week about data centers, and I did a little research into them, and it seems to be the case of all the sources that I was looking through that we're talking about this, from MIT to a bunch of other ones, is that the bulk of the data centers, like pretty much all of them being built these days, are strictly for the AI boom, and that they're not only is it just like going insane, but it's also a lot of places are saying it's propping up the market. The stock market in particular, and everything, that it's that much that's being built. So I found that quite interesting. YouTube, yeah. They ain't building data centers for that anymore. It's primarily for the AI training and processing.
Well, and that's hard to say too, because, you know, considering that 100%, you know, I'm not saying that's not happening, but I think it's also, you know, like Google, they're saying, well, we're building a data center. They don't necessarily say what they're building it for, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, you know, like they didn't really say, like, for example, the one they started building near my church, they started building that prior to the big boom of AI. So, I mean, it was already in construction by the time AI really hit. But so, and it's not like Google's going to say, well, we built this for that.
You know, yeah, they do, actually. They do.
Do they? Are they?
That's it. Right. It's the majority of it is being built for that, for those purposes and the specific things. And I think one of the big problems that's happening, and it's drawing a lot of ire and animosity towards all this, is it's really jacking up the power bills. For everybody
in some places,
else.
Yeah.
In a lot of places, like in Georgia, in Virginia here, it's jacking up the power bills, the electric bills and stuff, and it's insane. But
right.
Anyway.
But overall, though, I mean, it's also being driven by the cloud boom, too, because there's like, you know, because here's the other thing, too, is, you know, back in the day when I worked inside a data center, I mean, literally that was where I worked, was inside the room where all the computers were. That was being done on a smaller basis. Like, for example, I interviewed for a job with the state of Ohio in the state teacher's retirement system, and they had their own data center there. Well, centers like that are starting to go away and be replaced by these cloud data centers, because they're switching to cloud resources. It costs a lot less to build those, and they're a lot more fault tolerant, because, you know, like, for example, where the data center I used to work in at Columbus State, it was over top of the culinary program, or essentially over top a kitchen. Okay. So any time that our data center there could have been gone up smoke, and I think it still is there. You know, they moved to a different part of the building, and they still probably have a lot of network infrastructure in that building. But I guarantee you that all their most critical systems aren't in that room anymore. So, and that's the case for many, many, many places, because none of the, I mean, it's not economical to build them anymore. you know, the smaller ones. You know, it's the economies of scale that Google and Microsoft and Amazon does. But in that same token, though, a lot of them are, especially those big three, they are building them with sustainability in mind and building them with a lot of good infrastructure there. Now, whether AEP or whoever, like I know for a fact here, I mean, because that one that's being built here, my power bill hasn't changed. So it just has to be certain power companies that are doing that, because I know.
Wait, is Google, it finished being built or is it still being built?
There's sections of it that are online, but there's still sections of it that are being built. All right, but all around it, there was a solar field put like to the east of the main area. They had all these huge high tension wires built in all around where the data center is, and none of that was paid for by us. That was all paid for by Google, because there was none of that power infrastructure was there at all. I mean, we had power, like our street had power, but the amount of power that they're talking about just wasn't there, and Google had to pay for all of it. So and I will say Central Ohio itself is starting to become a huge data center area. There's all three of them have data centers all around us, and some of them have multiple data centers. U.S. East for the Amazon U.S. East 2 AZ, which is the Ohio AZ, that's all in this Central Ohio area. All of it's built here. So, but yeah, but it's in the same token, you know, I get some people wanting to be against them building them in their neighborhood, but on the same thing, they're still using the AI resources, and that's what they don't get, is that if you don't want these things being built, you have to stop using them. So, and that includes AI and other stuff. I mean,
well, in some cases, you don't really have much of a choice.
That's exactly right.
Shoehorn it in there, whether you mm-hmm. want it or not.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah, you're not wrong. So
also your place of work is probably pushing it hard too.
You're not kidding there either.
And I don't mean just you. I mean, like, it's happening in mine. Yeah. It's happening all over the place.
Yeah, I'll say this. Like, you know, certain ones are better than others. I've had really good luck myself using Google Gemini, especially in my car. It really works wonderfully in the car. My biggest criticism is sometimes it does things that, like, for example, sometimes I'll ask it, hey, what are the hours for this place, right? And all I want is the hours, but then they'll say, do you want me to navigate there? And I'm like, no, that's okay. You know, I just needed to know what the hours were. And they're like, okay. I mean, it with the Google one, it's a lot like a conversation more than anything, especially in the car. So like I said, I was driving up to my brother-in-law's on Easter, I literally had a conversation with it. I mean, it's rather good. I'm not saying it doesn't use a lot of resources, because I'm sure it does. Sure as hell, no, it does.
What did you have a conversation about?
I was talking about, like, things to prep for, and then I also asked it to put it in a Google Keep, and it did that. Now, that's been kind of iffy here and there. One other day I was talking, I was doing that, and it was like, I asked it, well, can you put that in a Google Keep? And it's like, well, I can't do that. And I'm like, well, you just did it a day ago. Like, why can't you do it now? It's like, you know, And I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. I'm like, it wasn't that important. I was just playing around with it. And a lot of times, too, that, like conversations that some friends of mine are having about that was almost everything I've done with Google Gemini, a lot of, now some of the things I asked it, questions I knew the answers for, you know. And what I didn't know the answers for, I was able to go and verify what it was telling me, and pretty much every time everything was dead on with what it should be. And I was asking it all sorts of stuff, you know, like what kind of hydration I should take, you know, what should I carb load tomorrow and Friday, you know, things like that. And I would go and do independent research just using a plain old Google search, and they were right. It was right. And plus in a lot of things too, I need to, and the nice thing here is it's in Google Keep, so I'm going to edit it. For example, when I did this, I was planning on staying at the Holiday Inn in Gastonia, but because my friends wussed out, they're not doing the event, I switched my hotel to a Sleep Inn in Gaffney, South Carolina. So, because the Holiday Inn Express was $466 for two nights.
Uh-huh. Wait, what did you switch it to?
A Sleep Inn.
Okay, how much did you save doing that?
A half. It was like $180 for both nights.
Oh, that's a lot better than 400, huh? Although it would have been nice if they would have jumped on board, and then you would have split that cost.
Yeah, that's why I signed up for it. Plus, they had a hot tub. Like, the best I can do now is to fill the bathtub in the hotel room with hot water, because it's got a pool, but I'm sure it's not going to be open. So
why wouldn't it be open? Is it an indoor
pool?
It's
outdoor. It's outside.
Oh, it's outdoor. Okay. I thought you were talking about an indoor pool.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it might be. I don't know. Maybe I put
those trunks in there. I don't think an outdoor pool is going to be open.
No, I mean, considering, see here, like, let me look at the latest forecast. Tomorrow should get trail conditions. I know they had some rain, so I'm going to expect mud. So I think right now I pretty much decided I'm going to take the my larger pack, because I'm probably going to start their day off in shorts and a fleece, because it's going to be like
that. Sounds scary.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, that's all he's wearing is just a fleece without shorts.
No, that's okay.
I don't like, you know, sleeves, so
I don't either. But it's like, okay, right now the prediction is, oh crap. Oh, wait, that's the day after. It's 10% chance rain on the day of. Race time should be, or start time should be about in the mid-50s. So I'll probably start off with just shorts, T-shirt, and a fleece top. I got a Columbia fleece I'll probably use. And then as soon as I get too warm, I'll take that off, stick it in a pack. So probably first aid station or so I can probably do that. Because that's actually one thing I was listening to a fitness podcast is when you are too cold and you're shivering, you're spending energy that you can be using towards your activity. So if I stay warm, then I should have more energy that I can put out in the trail. So I'm going to start warmer than I think I need to be, and then slough off layers as I can. I may even start with my zip-off pants instead.
It's the same thing in the opposite direction. I mean,
correct.
If you're too warm, then you're spending energy
to stay
trying
cool,
to cool
right.
back down. So
right.
Don't get too warm.
Yep. Oh, trust me. I know. That's why I'm probably like more likely to do shorts at the start than the zip-offs, but you know, we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. Like I said, tomorrow I should get an email from them about the trail conditions. It looks like it's raining there today. So, and from what I heard, they might had a good rain down there. But But we shall see how that all goes. Gotta make a. I already picked up. I had pre-ordered some company I deal with, First Form. We have hydration sticks, so that's got 1,200 milligrams of sodium per stick. So I got some of those, but I also grabbed some element, and then I have some energy drinks I'll take with me, and trying to think. I'm going to make a pit stop at the gas station and get some protein sticks for the pack. I already have some protein bars I'll stick in there for the first few miles. And but that the rest of it, you know, they'll have different snacks on the trail. Kindling pretzels, you know, the protein pretzels they have. Trying to think where are the other ones. They were listed on the stuff they sent out last week, or not last week, weekend before. In the participant guide, they literally tell you who their snack sponsors are. So, and they always have peanut butter and jelly. Some of the events have different things like Cuyahoga. And I guess they thought that might be, it might have been cooler that day, but they had chili. But the day ended up to be in about 80 degrees, and I don't want to eat a bowl of chili when it's 80 degrees out.
And it's a nice, cool 80 degrees out? I mean, come
on. Yeah, right?
Practically cold.
Well, for you, maybe. Sweatshirt weather.
At least hoodie and shorts.
So Kindling pretzels, they're protein pretzels. Nora, N-O-O-R-A functional blends. I'd never heard of them before. That sounds interesting. They look like they kind of look like those applesauce packs, you know? But they got different things in them, like ones that calm and clarity and hydration and immunity. They look like those little fruit packs, you know, with the little nozzle you squirt it in your mouth, you know. It's got things like passion fruit and stuff like that in it. I'm not sure if I'll do that, but...
Were you taking a Linux computer with you?
Maybe what? Maybe
bringing your own Wi-Fi?
Nah.
Bringing a portable Flex server?
Nah, there's no need for that. It's... You go on the trail to avoid that shit.
Yeah, but you come on to Linux podcast to talk about Linux.
I will say I do have my Garmin InReach Messenger, and I got the full plan, so I can communicate via satellite the whole time. Which is kind of cool. It goes back towards where I wish there was a true open source tracking device of sorts that wasn't a faff to put together, because a lot of the open source trackers that are out there, they're not exactly user friendly. I guess Amazfit's probably the cheapest one, and I've got my Google Garmin, so.
Well, the Amazfit's cheap, but I didn't think it was open.
It's not. It's just Amazon's crap, whatever that is.
But there's that one company that went out of business that people put open source software on. I can't remember the name.
Was it Halo?
No.
Well, there's Halo open source health tracking with wearables.
And then there's why can't I remember the name of these companies right now? My brain is just fried.
Another one here. There's OpenHack, which is the open source health activity
Pine
kit.
Time.
Okay.
But, like, everybody that gets the Pine Time that I've talked to, they love it, but then it's, like, dead a month later.
Yeah, and my Garmin's, like, 3 years old. So, I don't really like it. There's OpenHack. And that's the other thing too. Things like these, like the battery life of these this OpenHack thing is probably not going to be great. Not for the kind of activity I need. And it's definitely not that friendly, getting the data into something that you want it in might not be the easiest thing there is. But, and there's no, in fact, the OpenHack that I just shared here, the boards they have there, there's no LCDs on them.
Pebble.
Pebble, yeah. Well, in fact, they're back, actually.
Yeah, but they're old stuff you could, you know, hack and put whatever you want to on.
Yeah, you can buy new Pebble fitness trackers now. The Pebble Time, Pebble Round 2, and the Pebble Index 01. And I don't know, what's the bad, like the Pebble Round, let's see, what's the battery life? And well, it's $199. It does have the e-paper display, so it's probably got pretty decent battery life, but it's not shipping until July. Pebble Time 2 is supposedly have started shipping in March, but then there's an update link. Yeah, Pebble Time 2 is in mass production. It's also $225, also has an e-paper display. Let's see, it says long battery life, but doesn't tell you how long. And a Pebble Time might just be a fitness tracker. Let's see, does it have GPS built into it? Doesn't look like it does. No, let's see, it has a six-axis IMU compass and a compass, and one of them has a three-axis IMU with a compass. The other has a 6-axis IMU, heart rate, and a compass. So, none of those have GPS. So, for the kind of thing I need it for, is a critical thing. So, anyway.
Well, doesn't your phone have GPS?
Doesn't it have what?
GPS.
It does. It does. Of course it does. And I also got all trails on there, too. And I already have the full trail on it, too. Plus, I actually didn't notice this until just this past weekend. I was looking at it. They give you the elevation changes, but then it tells you down below how long each of the climbs are. And all of them are under a mile. So like they're like 0.7 miles, 0.5 miles. So those climbs, and there's like about 4 good climbs. But that should be doable. I'm not as scared of it. Well, you know, I'm not scared anyway, you know, because usually what happens is I'll see those elevations. I'll start the event, and then I don't even look at the freaking elevation changes or the map itself. And then I'll think about it, and I'll look at the map at some point, and then I'm usually past all the hard stuff. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And just finish it, you know. But there's big things that I'm concerned with Saturday. One, getting to mile 11.5 by 11:30. And getting to 21.5 by 3:30. Both should be very doable. So, goal pace is, I guess the overall goal pace is about three miles per hour. I'm going to try and do faster than that in the flats, obviously. If it's flat, I'm going to start to book it. And that's just because of the climb, you know. When I hit the climb, if I have to go slower for the climb, then I want to be prepared for that. So, I'm not even taking a radio with me because it's kind of pointless. Because You know, I as much as I like ham radio, it hasn't been exactly very busy lately. Even on the digital ones. Although I do have my new radio boards with the Raspberry Pis. And I got two of them. I got two of them working. I bought a second Raspberry Pi 20W with the pins on it, so I don't have to solder the damn
thing. I'm surprised you're not like getting a Radio Air or something. You know, one of those glasses with a screen and a camera, and then like recording your whole journey.
You know, the only thing that seems kind of, I mean, I'm probably going to take my GoPro with me. So, and I do have a backpack strap adapter for that. So I'll probably take that with me. But, you know, one of the big problems with the GoPro is the battery life kind of sucks.
Carry more battery life.
About 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, you ain't going to carry enough batteries for that shit.
No, no.
You should hook up a generator to your feet.
Well,
like a squirrel cage. Here,
that's kind of funny.
Just
now,
lug around solar panels?
I'll have, actually, well, it's funny you mentioned that, because when I was over at Sam's Club one day, they had this battery thing that came with a solar panel. I won't bring it on this because it's not exactly a flexible panel. It's not something I could just lash onto the back of my pack and actually have it work. But when I go to Kelly's Island here in June, I am going to take that with me because I want to see. I'll use the pack at night to keep my phone topped off, but during the day I'll set up the panel on the picnic table and see if it'll charge it all the way full by the end of by nighttime and see if I can live off the solar for keeping my phone charged at night. Because it's right on the edge. Kelly's Island's kind of right on the edge of reception. I will occasionally look in. My phone will be roaming on the Canadian cell phone network. Fortunately, I don't have to worry about it. Verizon doesn't have exorbitant roaming fees. But something like that on the trail probably wouldn't work too well because I'll be under a canopy for a good chunk of it. So, but you know, I have ways. I have a Nikkor 10,000 milliamp hour battery pack, and I also have a Anker. What is the Anker pack I got? I got it once on the. Anchor did a thing on their website direct where it was like a grab bag, all right? And one of the things I could have gotten was they have one of those bigger battery things. Like, I'm talking ones with the AC plug in it and all that stuff. And that's why I did that, and I could have got that in my shipment, but it ended up not getting that. But I did get something pretty cool. The Anker, the 26,000 milliamp hour battery bank with the built-in USB-C cable, so you don't have to have another cable to plug into it. And that I bought, I liked it so much, I bought my wife one of them. And it's right now, it's actually only $50 on Amazon. So it's a nice pack. And I might throw that in the pack as well. Because even with that battery pack in my Nikkor and 2 liters of water, I'm still going to have well under what I'm used to carrying in my ruck. So I also have to carry a headlamp for the start because at the start of the race, you're looking at probably, it's probably not going to be, the sun's going to not be fully up yet, but it should be, like, probably for only the first hour or so would I have to wear a headlamp, but they do make us start with headlamps. So, back there's the battery pack I bought, and I actually got the black one, not the one that I linked there. The colored ones cost a little bit more, but if you get the black one, it's only $50. So, and I'd have their Anker Nano USB-C cable, which is a 240-watt capable braided cord USB-C cable. I've actually got a couple of those. And they're nice cables, and I've used them with my MacBook actually, and does charge the MacBook too. There's the Anker cables. But yeah, I have a couple battery banks, so technically I can probably I have to look and see. I'm not sure. I should be able to charge the camera itself. The GoPro camera itself with one of those battery banks. But I have to look. I don't know if I have a standalone like a charger, you know, without it being plugged into. I might have that. I have to go look at in my GoPro box. I should have something like that in there, I think. So then I can keep one of them charging while I'm using the other one. But still, it won't be enough memory because that can record 4K video. There won't be enough memory on the card to record all 12 hours. There's no way. But I will be able to capture some pretty good clips. Now, I'll take my drone with me, but I'll probably leave it back at the hotel room. Because I don't think it would be a good idea throwing it up in the woods with 1,200 hikers in the woods.
Have you heard about CopyFail?
CopyFail.
Yeah, it's been all over the place.
The apparently there's a 0-day flaw discovered by a security person auditing the code through their tool at Theory.io, an AI assisted tool. And it's
the Perplexity one.
Yeah, Tiang Li at the firm Theory. I guess that's how it's pronounced, Theory, using Xint code, a source code analyzing tool, part of their AI driven penetration testing platform, Xint.io. So apparently, what it does is you can overwrite page caches in memory if you have physical access to the machine and you do not have to be root to execute this exploit. And it's really simple. If you go over to copy.fail, there is a way to get the actual exploit and run it on the system that you can test it on. I've tested it on three of my systems here, and coincidentally, two of them are running Manjaro, and I think one's just base Arch. And one of the ones running Manjaro, which was the last one I installed Manjaro on, it must not be auto updating or something, because I was able to execute the exploit on that. It's the one that I play the music off of. Now, on this other machine that I ran it on, it would not, the exploit would not work on there. So this one must be updated. And the other one, which is just an Arch machine, keep it up to date, it also did not allow the exploit to run. So I'm pretty happy with that. Well, it's interesting. It's one of those easy exploits that you can run. Now, you probably don't want to take it to work and run it on your production-based system, because the way that you have to fix it then, I mean, aside from updating, but you have to reboot the machine to, I guess, to get it out of cache when you're finished, to make sure that it's just not lingering around there. So if anybody could access your system, get like a shell on your system, you can do it through SSH too. That exploit is really simple to run, and keep your systems up to date.
Having physical access, you know, if they get physical access to your system, it's already too late.
Yes, yes. Well, in a multi-user, like if you, one of the biggest problems is like in a multi-user system, that allows any user on that multi-user system to get a root account on there. So, you know how you let Joel hang out. I mean, Joe hang out on your system, Joel, and next thing you know, he's installing Satanic Linux. What was that? It was Satanic Linux, wasn't it?
Satan. Anyway, get a YubiKey yet? Because I actually just got one this week.
I have had a YubiKey for years.
Apparently, you can get a YubiKey through my work instead of having to use the Microsoft Authenticator, which is a piece of crap. I did put in for one. I haven't received it yet.
Yeah, I got mine. We use Okta.
Okay.
It was kind of a pain in the ass because I got it in like – I got the USB-C one. So it's just the little nano one, the little tiny one.
Okay.
Right? And it fits – of course, it fits in – I have two USB-C ports on my MacBook Pro. So I plugged it in. I could plug it into like the dock because I do have USB-C ports on my dock. But I plugged it into the laptop just in case because I'm just gonna leave that thing in there, you know, all the time. But then when I got it though, it came in a FedEx envelope, and then was stuck on a post-it note. No instructions telling me on how to set it up. I'm like, okay. So I go to our Help IT Slack channel, and a guy's like, oh, hold on. I'll have a quick Zoom with you so that I can verify your identity, and I did that. And then he added it to my Okta, and then I set it up. And other than having to tell the few applications, I wanted to use the YubiKey versus using the Okta authenticator. And the whole reason I got one is because Okta Authenticator, they recently, like 2 weeks ago, ratcheted up the security like tenfold. And it, like in 5 minutes, I was having to pick my phone up 15 times just so I can hit the stupid number on the authenticator. All right, because every single web page, like I would open our ServiceNow up twice, right? And every time I'd open it up from the Okta chiclet, it would prompt me every single time.
To what? To enter in the security code?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Why? It is.
Did they not have that set correctly?
But the nice thing is the YubiKey is a hell of a lot faster than picking up my phone. Is that to pick up the phone, unlock the phone, get to the authenticator, find the press the yes button, then find the number, and oh, it was a pain in the ass. So YubiKey gets rid of all that. So it just pops up the little thing, says press tap your YubiKey, and then it spews out the code because the YubiKey essentially is just an HID device. So it'll work on anything, including Linux. And it works pretty nice.
I'm all for security and everything, but having you verify – like authenticate every time you open a page,
yeah,
is ridiculous.
Well, okay, let me preface that. If I was going like page to page to page in ServiceNow in the window, it wouldn't do it. But if I open another tab so that I can have more than one tab open in ServiceNow, for every tab I opened up, it would prompt it, which is still ridiculous in my opinion, but. You know, and we do the same thing with Datadog and all that stuff. So, which we do use. But, now, but YubiKey, though, is pretty useful. I suppose it would also work with my phone, although I haven't tried it with my phone yet. And I would recommend, like, I'm still keeping Okta, the Okta Verify as a secondary method. Because there's times like when I'm on call, if I don't have, like, for example, if I'm at the store or something, I might have my laptop locked in the car. but I get a page and I need to look at the monitor, which actually that's going to happen a lot less often for other reasons. But yeah, because they decided to get rid of all their synthetic tests, and I'm like, okay, I'll get a lot less pages now. I don't like it.
That is. God, sometimes you're like, what are we protecting ourselves from?
Yes, I know.
For our users, I can't imagine that the higher ups are going to tolerate having to do that every time. Maybe I'm wrong. They can have somebody tweet.
It was shit. Our higher ups that told us get the Gooby Key. It's a lot better than doing the Octaverify, and he's still, right.
Because
And the nice thing, Octaverify is just YubiKey is just a tap. You know, it's not a thumbprint. You know, so you just tap it with any finger, and it works. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just a pain in the rear.
What do you think, Joe? What's your opinion of the YubiKey?
Oh, it's pretty easy. I mean, ours isn't even that hard to set up. I don't have to, you know, talk to anybody. I just have to register it.
And then
my computer and I hit a button.
When I requested it, they should have just added it to my Okta. But they didn't do that. And it's like, oops, okay, whatever. I'm debating getting one because you can use it with other things too. So I might look at getting like my own for my own things. And they're not expensive. It's like, what, $58 for the keychain one and $68.
You need to count with them or something? I don't know.
No, you don't.
You can get like the I think the previous version, like half that price too.
Yeah. Let's see, $58 for the USB-A one, $30 for the... And some of them have been NFC built into it too, so you can tap it against your phone. But like the cheap, what is the cheap? Let me sort this by price and see. So sort by featured price, low to high. Oh, let's see. Let me find the first one that's actually a YubiKey, not a case for a YubiKey.
So the case is $60.
No, they're like $10.
What would you need a case for? Didn't you just leave it in your system?
Well, the one I got, that's what I do, is just keep it in the system. It's just a nano key. I mean, it barely sticks out from the drive. But then if you get the keychain style one, then you might want a case. But I really don't.
You're on multiple machines.
So the cheapest actual YubiKo one is $29. And that's a USB-C with the NFC basic compatibility, FIDO certified. Then you can get a bundle which has a USB-A and a USB-C YubiKey in it for $56. And then you can get the newer 5C one for $58, and they got a little beefier looking one that's also USB-C for $65. So at most you're paying maybe $70. You know,
you can have those set up on multiple machines, right? I assume so. Yeah. I don't see why you wouldn't.
I mean, it's just whenever I probably could technically take the one that work gave me and set that up with personal things, but I'd rather not, if you know what I mean. I mean, it's just a random generator, you know, it's an HID device. That's all it is. And it generates a random string every time you tap the button. So, I mean, there's nothing to it. So, and then each thing would just, you'd stick it in your computer, And when you go to set up, it would identify the key, and that's it. I mean, it's that simple. But anyway, I have a question for you, Dan. Maybe you might, since you got younger kids, maybe this is a thing. Some friends of mine, their daughter's graduating this year, and her high school had a decision day for a college. And I'm like, does your kids' school have that too?
What is it a decision day is when they hear from the colleges whether they got accepted or
which college you're going to?
Oh, which college that you are going to be going to? What?
So it's like the school that a friend of mine's daughter went to, they literally have this Hamilton High School decision day. So they had like a table set up, and it looks like a pep rally almost. And granted, she's in band, so maybe that's why? I don't know. But she's going to Capital University, so.
Anyway, so they go and that day it's like a pep rally where they. Yeah. You know what? I have not now. To be fair, my last daughter graduated in 2020. The last daughter that graduated in two that graduated in 2020.
And now, Lily hasn't graduated yet.
No, this Lily still has another four and a half. Well, not including this year, another 4 years to go. So, I don't recognize that. Now, I know generally during graduation, they will, if they have decided where they're going,
they'll know where school, they'll say it during graduation. They'll say it in graduation.
Yeah. I'm then again, something like a decision day could just be put on inside the school, and I might not know about it because it's not something I don't think that.
Right. I think it's cool. I mean, it's almost like a signing day for like athletes or something, which that I've seen before. But she's just in band, as far as I know. But she's also double majoring in, which I'm like, that's insane. Granted, she is smart as a whip, and she's an excellent musician. She plays in our church band sometimes.
Well, apparently, hold on. I'm sorry. Sing. My wife is yelling at me, saying that they do have decision day in Hampton, but I know with Paige, I guess she had accepted early, so I don't know. She's not quite clear on what it is, but they have something like that.
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, they didn't have that kind of shit when I was in school. Granted, I will tell you one thing that I did when I was in high school that I don't regret doing, but it drove me batshit crazy. I don't know why, but I took the ASVAB. Joe knows what that is.
I took that too. I almost went into the military. Yeah,
everybody
band.
Takes the ASVAB in Texas. I think everybody takes it in Iowa too.
You're right.
I mean, I got good enough scores. I had the Air Force calling me, the Navy calling me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna do it. Although sometimes I kind of wish I did, but I'm glad I didn't now. Because considering that when you and I were in high school, Dan, what was going on, or college,
was,
I mean.
That was Desert Storm.
That's right, man.
My neighborhood friend was in that.
I'm like, I'm glad
my dad
I didn't
was there.
Know. Your dad was there? You lucked out. You didn't go to any conflict, did you, Joe?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did? Well, you weren't Desert Storm, were you?
I was there in 2003.
Okay. Oh, during Bush. Okay. Bush 2. When they were finishing the job. Yeah, I have some friends that were in it too, I think. I'm glad I didn't, but my classes started back this week, and they annoyed the hell out of me earlier this week. They're like, don't you think you should log into your course and stuff like that? And I'm like, no, because I know the instructor won't have anything due till Sunday. It's like, I'll check in, and I did today. In fact, I probably should do at least one of my discussion board posts, and I'm going to try and get everything wrapped up on my coursework before I head down to South Carolina Friday. In fact, I might take my test tonight, or quiz, or whatever it is. It's a security course, so... I'm going to be honest. I actually haven't really studied all that hard for any of my master's degree courses, and I still have a 4.0. So it's like...
But that's great. It, congratulations.
It annoys the hell out of me, though, because most of the kids, and they are kids, taking this master's program, because they're like such a different generation, everything it seems like they're all handheld, like they hold their hands and shit through everything, and it's like, I don't really need that, thank you, I got it, I'm registered, I'm in the class, thank you, I don't need you, go away. Just let me get my shit taken care of. And the other thing I hate too is the classes are 8 weeks long, but then they give you a project, and it's like, in most of the projects, I look at it and what they ask you to do, and there's no possible way that you can do it the right way with the amount of time given. But, oh, I should download the GPX file and put that into my Onyx backcountry. Let's do that. So I also have All Trails and Onyx Backcountry. They're good things. But I have tested the Garmin InReach Messenger and sent several messages out with it. That's pretty cool. It's pretty slick. It works pretty nicely. It will send messages to your, like, I could send a message to my wife's phone from the satellite, but then it comes to her phone and it doesn't tell you, it doesn't necessarily have your phone number in it. It uses Garmin's phone number. But if she signed up for the app.
A lot of people sending your wife messages using Garmin?
No, just me. It doesn't tell you
it's from.
No, she doesn't actually. It doesn't tell you that it's actually from Garmin. Well, why don't I not have this? Okay. To reset the password, it shows you how often I log into Onyx Backcountry. It's always good to have multiple maps with you. My watch will do the map too. My watch will have the map as well. Now that I've been listening to a podcast called The Drop, and that's from Believin' to Run, and they have two different podcasts in the same feed, which is kind of annoying. But one's the Dirt Division, and this week they're talking about Cocodono, which is going on right now, and that's a trail race in Arizona, 250 miles. Yeah, I don't think so. No, I'm good. I don't need to do that. Don't need to do that at all.
250 miles over how long? How many days?
Let's see. It's already started. So it's like from... I think it started on the 4th and goes through the 10th. So, and here's the wild thing. Somebody's already died on it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I just saw that story today, and I'm like, good God. And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm good. A marathon is going to be a good goal for me.
250 miles. Would they die of exhaustion?
That's a good question. Let me look at the news story. It's called Cocodona. Cocodona. The Cocodona 250. And let me see. Yeah, ultra marathon runner dies during 2026 Cocodona 250, southeast of Prescott. One of the runners died. Let's see. Post on social media on the internet. A serious medical emergency and died. It doesn't say what. Woman was in her 40s. Yeah, I'm good. Because the podcasts were saying that there's some of them were like sick, like had a kidney issue or something. I mean, it's 250 miles of running on a trail, which you're not
in Arizona.
Yeah, in Arizona. 253 mile race starts in Black Canyon City, which is 20 miles north of Phoenix, and goes all the way to Flagstaff. Yeah, I'm good. And they have a total of 125 hours to complete the race. 38,000 feet in elevation change. So some of that you're actually hiking it, because I can't imagine going up a real, real steep hill running. Yeah, I'm good. Although I am thinking about doing some trail racing. This weekend, it's actually happening up near Cleveland. There's an event called Outlast. It's a trail race. And what it is you run a 5K every hour for 6 hours. So if you finish the 5K, you can sit and rest until the next loop starts. So, and it's a loop. So it sounds like you're doing the same course every loop. So, and if you get medals at different layers, like if you make four, you do get like a grit medal. But if you get all six of them, and then you get the top medal. But I'm thinking about doing that, but I got to do some real trail races first. But right now, I think I need to find another road race between now and my half marathon. I'm looking at between 10K and 15K. I tried to have the wife. I go to the wife. I said, "Pick a race. I want you to come do it and watch me finish." They haven't done that yet. There is one on the 4th of July here locally. It's a 5K. So I might do that. I don't know.
You should do it, man.
I mean, 5K are easy for me nowadays.
Well, then you can do a lot of them.
Well, I say in a 5K, too, I actually now would compete for time.
Then yep. Do it.
Yeah. Because you were talking, I'd like to get a sub half hour 5K. That would be awesome. How much is that one, too? There might be one Memorial Day, too. I should look at that. I do like my new Hoka Mach 7 shoes. I love them things. Let's see. Run Silent Grove Firecracker 5K. Oh, shit. It's only $35. I'm going to sign up for it whether she wants to or not. And if they come to see me do it, fine. What time does that start? Oh, it's 8 a.m. start time. I could do that. I don't work the 4th of July. See, what do you get? You get a race day t-shirt, finisher medal, and finisher post-race refreshments. And Oh, it's got a good cause. All of the proceeds benefit Grove City Buddy Ball. Which is Buddy Ball is, I believe, it's either baseball or T-ball, I think. Let me see, what is Buddy Ball?
It's where you hit the ball and then somebody else runs for you? I don't know.
No, it's baseball. Oh, it's baseball for children and adults with mental and physical disabilities.
That's you.
Hey! Fuck off.
No thanks.
Wait, are you playing Buddy Ball?
And I'd be running to support it, man.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Wonder what the complimentary refreshments are.
Was that going to be your deciding?
No.
Your decision factor right no. there? What they're going to compliment you with?
I wonder. Well, the good thing here is that at least it's in the morning, so it should be. It ain't going to be like 90 fucking degrees at 8 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it could be in the 70s, but. At least it would get me out running for the day. So there's good. There's that. And that's the other thing too. Like for outdoor running, I'm kind of tuning. Like, you know, what do I carry? You know, because it's you know, I always have my phone with me. You know, and it's like, do I really like using the Ruse Sport, which is what I'm using now? It's got me thinking about things like, do I want to get a Ridge wallet before then so that I can carry my wallet with me? I actually kind of do want to get a Ridge wallet, mostly because I think some of my training runs I might start like on a weekend. I might do a longer run and say, let's go ahead and run all the way down the Kroger's and get a coffee at Starbucks and back. That's going to be roughly 5 miles.
So, is that what you're going to do every morning?
No.
No,
5K is only 3.1, so, you know, but I need to start getting longer runs in, though, because a half marathon's 13.1. Buddy mine ran the Cap City half marathon, and he was his first half marathon, and he got, his time was 2 hours and 2 minutes. Which is pretty freaking phenomenal for his first full half marathon, you know. Goodness. Yeah, I need to find. I might do that one, but I also want to do a longer distance one too. And then I think I need to also start investigating doing there's this service called Repat. And what they will do is, like, I can ship them a box full of, like, my race and hike t-shirts, and they can sew them into, like, a quilt for me. Which is pretty cool. Like, something like you can hang on your wall or something.
That's nice.
Yeah. Because, after a certain time period, I get tired of wearing the shirt anyway, you know?
You just got so many of them now? You're like...
Well, that's actually true. It's like Saturday, I'll get two. I'll get my finisher shirt, and I'm getting the South Carolina shirt, too, so... And that's extra on top of the race, you know? Because the medal, well... At least that medal this year, I will know which event it was, because that medal will have 30 on it instead of 20. So, unless I get stupid and have to drop out at the fifth and final rest stop, and that means I got there after 3:30, which No, I'm gonna push myself to get there in time. Really, it's what, 10 miles from. So if I can't get 10 miles between 11:30 and 3:30 p.m., something's wrong. Something's really wrong. Because you gotta consider, I start at 6:30 in the morning, so. And I'll probably leave that third aid station, which is, that's the 11:30 cutoff. Let's see, that's 11 and a half. If I do 3 miles an hour, so that's 1, 2, 3. So 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30. So I'm looking probably getting in there probably about between 9:30, 10. So an hour and a half or so. Before I have to be in there, so the good head start. Plus that section's relative. It's not flat, but it's not hard. You know, it's like miles 16 through 21 going into that fifth aid station. That's the toughest part, and that's in the military park because. The 30-mile loop uses a military park and not just a state park. So, but I'll probably have both my sets of trail shoes with me just in case, because I might take them depending on my mental state at the beginning when I'm packing stuff up in the morning. I know I'll have to go get breakfast on the road, because the hotel breakfast I don't think will be in effect Saturday morning for me.
Because you get up too early.
Yeah, because I gotta. Well, you gotta figure. I'm gonna try to be to the trailhead to the venue by the start time 6:30, but I want to try and get there by about 6. So. And that's about half hour, 45 minutes away, so I'm going to be leaving right about 5:30-ish. So, yeah, I'll be up early. It's okay, I'm going to bed early, too, Saturday or Friday night, too. I'm going to drive there, like, my Friday will probably be me getting up at my normal time, and I'll probably go walk for about an hour on the treadmill just to get steps in, and then come home, take a shower, hit the road. So, planning on hitting the road before 7. So, and then make a pit stop in West Virginia for one of the best breakfast biscuit sandwiches you can get at Tudor's Biscuit World. That'll be my carb load. I have debated bringing like my MMDVM, which runs the Linux with me on the trail, but I don't know how well the internet connection would be, you know.
On the trail? That's why you bring your own server with you too, you know, get a Raspberry Pi. And...
Technically, that is my own server, so, you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
Have it have its own Wi-Fi, and you're good.
One would hope, right?
Get one of those Zima boards.
See, now that's
couple hard drives.
That's what Elon needs to bring out next, man. He needs to bring out a true backpacker-friendly version of Starlink. Because that would be cool. Let me do Starlink backpacking. Ooh, somebody must have done it, because I searched for it and says, and one of the first things that showed up in Google said Starlink backpacking setup.
Surprised.
The Starlink Mini is approximately 2.4 pounds and can be powered by a USB-C battery bank. So, yeah, they can't do that. Wonder how... Kill Phantom has a YouTube video on that. I'll have to watch that after the show. Anyway.
Get yourself one of those new $500 Macs there, Joel.
You know, I've been debating it. I don't really need one because my MacBook Air is small enough, you know.
Figured you were first in line on release day.
I have friends that have it, and they actually really like it.
You know what my problem with it is?
It's a Mac.
Can't put Linux on it.
Well, that's true.
Is it because there's just no version ported to it yet, or it's that never going to happen?
No, yeah, not for the A chip. Not the A. There is for the M series chips.
Wait, which chip does it run?
The A18.
Oh, is that like with the iPad or the has?
Well, the iPhone, yeah.
The iPhone.
Yeah. Let's see.
So it's like Apple's version of the Chromebook, right?
Kind of. Yes, it's running right now from the AI overview from Google. It says running Linux on a MacBook Neo, which is running the A18 chip, is currently limited to virtual machines rather than native installation. While SI Linux supports the M-series chips, the A18 compatibility is pending, making virtualization via tools like QTM the only immediate option. Performance in VMs can be restricted by the 8 gigs of RAM that the Neo has. Granted, once the Shy is ported, that would be a neat little Linux machine.
I agree.
Brings back memories of netbooks.
Oh, it's not that small, is it? You make it sound like it's like a 13-inch screen. Weren't netbooks like generally like 13 10 inch, 10 inch, 9 10 inch,
yeah. 8, 9, and 10 inches.
Yes.
That's right.
Ooh. MacBook Neo, what is the screen size on? I think it's 11.
God, netbooks, they were a thing for about 15 minutes.
2 years?
Yeah, the year and a half, yeah. 2 years. And...
Oh, it's 13-inch. 13-inch screen. Which, honestly, some of the last netbooks that were out had 12 inches. Misty had the one of the...
Yeah, but they sure didn't feel like netbooks by the time they were up to like the 12-inch ones.
No, they didn't.
Like mini laptops.
Yeah.
You smaller form factor laptops. Misty had the Acer one, the 12-inch one that Acer brought out.
Man, what was that one I got that started with a G?
Mezo?
Oh, I got that wrong. Starting it with a G, it had a G on the like a logo that was.
It had a G in the lid, right? It was Samsung Mezo, I think.
Let me see. Was it? Oh, Sylvan G Netbook Mezo. So that's why that had a G. I remember. I really like that system.
It was yellow too.
Yeah, it came with Ubuntu, or you can get Windows XP Home.
So Acer Aspire 12-inch. Wait, I wouldn't mind finding one of the newer netbooks that were a little faster.
I'm trying to remember, there was some like funky thing about the keyboard or something on a lot of these machines. What was it? What do I know?
Do you remember when Google was sending out netbooks and Chromebooks, and we were all trying to get one?
Yeah, I remember that. I still use my netbook for playing videos on, not net, the Chromebook for playing videos while I'm, you know, making dinner and stuff. Starting to get a little old. Doesn't have any more updates. Hasn't had any more updates for
it's really also 32-bit.
The Chromebook? It's also
32-bit. Yeah, or not Chromebook. The main.
All the netbooks were.
The netbooks
were 32-bit. Yeah, yeah, I was 30.
I think there was a couple that came out like
towards the tail
closer
end,
to the 12-inch ones.
The EPC.
Yeah, that were actually able to do 64-bit, but
yeah, there were EPCs that could do that, or as a what you call them? What was his? A Denkpod says, "EPC." You ever watch Denkpods? He's funny.
I don't think I have.
Yeah, what he's known for is he's taken like iPods and basically ripped the hard drives out of them and replaced them with flash drives. He's done it all the way up to like
build.
Yeah, he's also done it all the way up to 2 terabytes in an iPod.
Yeah, I think there were a couple that actually like took mini hard drives or something that you could put hard drives in.
Yeah,
the Zunes.
I actually have a Zune, believe it or not. I bought one.
Some of the Zunes I know you could do that with, and then I think there was some of the larger iPods that you could adapt to hold.
In fact, I don't even have it set up. You can't even load the Zune software anymore. But back when before I waxed my Windows partition on my Surface Pro, I did load up the Zune with all my music, and it does work. The only thing that doesn't work is the squirting that they had on it. They had this thing where you would squirt songs to each other over the Wi-Fi. And it's one of those ones. Microsoft didn't screw that one up. It was actually good. But because of when it came out, it just couldn't compete with the iPod. You know, that's the main problem with it. But it sounded good. It looked good. I have the brown one, which is the one everyone made fun of. I like the brown one because I think it looks nice. I will say I don't use it. It's in a drawer right now. Every once in a while, I'll pull it out, you know, or like, actually, that might be something I could pull out when I go camping, when I have no network, because I actually use YouTube Music for most of my music, even when I'm running. That's my music service of choice, mostly because I pay for YouTube Premium, so might as well use it. And one of the last semi-open smart like fitness tracker I had is I had the Wise Watch. And I liked it, but honestly, it was very, very limiting. And it would not be able to do half the stuff that I can do with my Garmin this right now. It looks like now the only thing they have are scales, I think. Unless maybe I'm looking in the wrong spot. Let me see. See, lifestyle, health and wellness scales. Oh, I did forget to mention we bought a new car over the weekend for Luke.
Is it the car you were looking for?
Yeah, we got a Honda CR-V.
Oh, that's good. Is it a 2026?
It is. It is.
Did you buy it or did you lease it?
Buy it.
Okay.
We ended up. It ended up there was enough incentives that buying like that versus the 2025 that they still had a lot was a wash. So. He likes it. It rides nice. I got the ride in it, and that's about it. And it's him, and it's halfway. I think I'm halfway there. I'm. We'll have to see when I get to that. But showroom had a Honda, a 2026 Honda Passport Trail Sport that I sat in and practically fell in love with right there. I'm like, I want this thing because it was beautiful. It had recovery hooks on the front. It has general grabber tires on it, so it can actually go off-road. About the only thing that it doesn't have enough of that it should have enough of is ground clearance. So it doesn't have a lot of ground clearance. But other than that, not that I would actually take it off of off-road anyway. But it does have a it doesn't have a third row, but it has just as much cargo space as my Traverse does have. Without that third seat in it. So it's, in fact, I think it actually has more. But, and Honda's one of the last ones that has an SUV of that size, the six cylinder in it. So, I'm pretty convinced I kind of want to get one of those. This is the first year for it, though, for this current design. So it's a good thing I'm pretty much going to wait because I kind of want to get the Trailsport Elite. But it's a beautiful vehicle. And yeah, I kind of want the orange one too.
Time to get it, man.
I'm going to try and see if I can't wait for a year without a car payment.
You taking your son's car down to South Carolina so you don't have to you get the best gas mileage, right?
I wish. He don't want to drive mine. But yeah, I think this might be my next vehicle. As much as I don't like leaving, I mean, I like my Chevys, but when they brought out the new version of the Traverse, they went to a Turbo 4, and I think it's stupid for a SUV the size of the Traverse. And I also need to make sure that it has a tow package on it because I want to be able to tow things.
What are you towing? Nothing yet, right?
A camper, either a camper or a trailer. So it is 10 o'clock.
All right. It's time to wish you the best of luck on your...
Yes.
On your mammoth march, right?
Yep. And I can send you a link to the Garmin Messenger app. You can sign up for the app. And the nice thing is, if you use the app, it's much more clear on who the message is coming from than if I send it to your phone number via the app. So I'll send you the link before I go. That way you can check in on me.
Have a safe one. Trip and a safe march and a trip back.
And Friday night, you know what I'm getting? Barbecue.
There you go.
Do you have a heart rate monitor alert set up in case, you know, you flatline?
My watch has one, yes.
It just sends off his little beeper.
Yeah, it just sends a message to his wife. Hey, get ready to collect the insurance.
Right. All right, you stay safe, sir. And you have a good week, Joe. And here we'll play this out. What happened?
You didn't hit the button.
I did hit the button. Why did it all of a sudden? Oh, why does it do this? This is the machine. The machine that I play the music from is the machine that I was testing the copy fail on. This is working just fine before. What's going on here? Why is it letting me down? Hear that beep 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 beep. I know that works.
Feedback is what we're getting.
Yeah. There's a growler.
There we go. I'm sorry. Here we go.
I am short.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Now, I have the InReach Messenger. Not the Messenger Plus. If I had the Messenger Plus, I could actually send you pictures over the satellite. But I don't. So, because they didn't have that. Now, I put a link to the biscuit sandwiches at Tudor's, and my favorite on that list is called the Duke. Bacon, crispy hash brown, egg, and cheese on a homemade buttermilk biscuit. And they're good. What'd you do, man?
That's a good question. I'm trying to figure out what I did do. I edited the wrong file.
You did? That's not good.
So I got it fixed. What the heck? Why is it not? Oh, that's why I know that. Oh, wait, come on. There we go. This keyboard. What am I doing wrong? Did I do? Delicious.
Indeed.
Yes.
Quality.
Deep and mean. That reminds me, you ever seen the movie Hamburger, the movie?
Yes.
That's hilarious. I love that movie. And not just because there's titties in it.
Hamburger.
Although that does add to the appeal.
Yes. What was her name? Shit. Mrs. Vonk. What actress played her? I'm trying to remember. Brandy Brooks. There was three sets of boobs in that movie. And I remember that stuff because I was a teenager when it came out. Thirty miler.
Gotta pace yourself, eh?
Oh yeah.
Oh, all right.
I did do all my strength training this week, and I got boot camp tomorrow. I am doing that, but then it's set, Friday. I'm driving down through West Virginia. And on the way home, I'm gonna go through Tennessee and see Dad on the way home. Takes me a couple hours out of the way, but I don't care. I don't get to see my dad often enough.
Well, it's good to go see him.
Yep, and I can get some Buc-ee's on the way home. That's even better.
And there we go. Oh, wait. Whoa. What episode is this? 1136.
I don't know. Our website's still down.
Yeah, I know. I'm such a lazy.
You're not lazy. You're busy.
I'm building gardens.
Gardens.
Yeah, we just built a herb garden. This week.
Nice.
Gotta build it. Can't put it in the backyard because the dogs will step all over it.
I got these pots I 3D printed back during the pandemic that I still haven't finished up yet. They were like made so that you can like, they're kind of self-watering, you know?
Okay.
But the bottom part, your bottom part you fill with water, and then you put, you know, of course, the soil in the top part. And I need to take the bottom part and then get some Elmer's and, like, line the whole entire inside of that so that it doesn't leak.
Uh-huh.
And I just haven't gotten around to doing it because what I was going to do was going to put some herbs in there, like some chives or some cilantro or something like that, and then either put it in my screen room or grow them inside, one of the two, not sure which.
I would say maybe not cilantro, only because it's very finicky and you would probably have better results with a different herb like basil or thyme or oregano than cilantro's. Yeah. Although parsley will grow like mad anyway.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. I guess we start the show.
Sure.
Here we go. 1136. Boom.